probably the most eye-opening thing is what has happened downstate. So the New York City metropolitan region did have a net loss of over 325,000 residents.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with Cornell economic geographer Russell Weaver, Director of Research at the Cornell ILR Buffalo CoLab. Well, during the pandemic, we heard a lot of anecdotes about burned out New York City residents seeking refuge upstate. And now we have the data. Cornell University has released a new analysis of March U.S. Census Bureau numbers, and it shows the Big Apple lost nearly 4% of its population in COVID-19's first year. At the same time, the state's overall population was sharply down. According to Cornell, the Capital Region and Mid-Hudson gained population, but 46 counties saw declines. The fastest-growing county was Sullivan, while Orange County added more than 3,000 people. Here's my conversation with Cornell's Russell Weaver. Before we dive into the data, can you explain a little bit about what you do? What's an economic geographer?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of what I do is study spatial patterns, right? Patterns of economic activity, of economic inequality, to understand what drives and what produces those patterns, and then ultimately how they change over time.
How does COVID-19 and its impacts compare to other past phenomena that you've studied in terms of, shifting people?
Well, it's fairly unique for a number of reasons. One is it's had such an economic effect. A lot of workplaces, while they might not have changed permanently, have at least expanded remote work from home opportunities. And so a lot of people became disconnected slightly from the places where they had lived before, potentially more free to move around and more mobile. The other impact that it's had is certainly the big negative, in that it has resulted in a lot of premature deaths, which is responsible for a lot of the population decline that we've seen in upstate cities, in particular in New York State. So it's had some effects that have freed people maybe to move around, but it's had other effects that have placed downward pressure on the population naturally.
Well, obviously, New York's population has gotten a lot of attention of late because in the latest round of post-census redistricting, we learned we would be losing a congressional seat as more people in the U.S. shift to Sunbelt states. What are some other reasons separate from COVID that those sort of shifts are happening?
Cost of living is a big one. So New York State can, especially in downstate, there are challenges with housing affordability. And then it also depends on, as I said, technology and whether or not someone has the freedom to potentially be able to work from a different location. So seeking affordability, seeking opportunities to have a better spatial match between work and life and family and all of that are having an effect. Weather is also a big one. So New York State, we have very, very different weather depending on whether you're upstate or downstate. But still some folks are opting to get away from cold weather. So all of those sort of factors play out. It's really multi-causal, and there's no one single factor to point to that says that this is the cause. But certainly after losing that congressional seats in this past 2020 census, the data over the past year from the pandemic hasn't proven any more beneficial. The state's population has now dipped below 20 million where it was at during that that April 2020 census, when we even lost a seat then.
So what are some other sort of top line numbers that jump out to you from the latest census data related to that first COVID year?
Probably the most eye-opening thing is what has happened downstate. So the New York City metropolitan region did have a net loss of over 325,000 residents. One thing that is, I won't call it an issue because this data set isn't designed to do this, but one thing that is missing from the population estimates that the Census Bureau puts out at this time is that we can't actually track those folks, so we don't know where they end up. We know whether they move out or moving in, but we don't know from where or where they've gone. So the big loss downstate is certainly something that catches your eye, but it seems that at least some of that loss had reverberation effects that may have benefited other regions or led to population growth in other regions. And so one of the other side of that dynamic is that while New York City experienced some heavy losses, upstate cities, some lost population, but not very much. And then other regions did see some population growth. So it's a shifting around of folks in the state, it seems.
In other moments when New York City has lost population for whatever reason, is a 3.8% drop in population as outlined in these numbers, is that an anomaly or is that something that can be bounced back from?
So in 1 year, the number of folks, the net loss of population experience there is you know, something to keep an eye on. It's a bigger number than we might have expected. You know, certainly it can bounce back. And so one of the areas, of course, in New York City and even elsewhere in New York State that has been a net positive sort of ready supply of new population is international in-migration. So during this one-year period, while 385,000 domestic residents moved out of the New York City region, almost 24,000 individuals moved in from abroad. And so New York City is an international city. It's a global city. That has a concentration of a lot of economic activity and a lot of amenities. And so it's always sort of a magnet and attractor for people. And so that flow of international immigration is still something that will counteract some of these effects. And, it's New York City, so I'm sure it will bounce back from this. But again, 1 year in to the pandemic data here, it shows that folks that may have had a choice to be more mobile were exercising that choice for sure.
Do you know if other states with large cosmopolitan international cities that also dealt with severe COVID problems, you know, like in California, Seattle comes to mind, did other cities experience similar trends where people left the metropolises and found themselves in maybe neighboring counties?
It's hard to track in this data if folks moved into neighboring areas just because this one doesn't really look at mobility. But certainly other cities, were affected. The Los Angeles metro area had a net loss of about 176,000 people. So as comparison, that's not as extreme as what we experienced in New York City. But certainly it's a big change. One thing that those cities have in common, of course, those regions have in common is the cost of living is high. And so I would imagine at least some of the migration patterns that we're seeing are folks and households in search of lower costs of living, maybe in different sorts of geographic environments. So it's not a unique phenomenon to New York City, but the magnitude of what happened here downstate is something that catches the eye.
Now, this covers the first year of COVID. We've just marked the second anniversary of the pandemic taking hold in the U.S. When will we know if the trends outlined here held beyond that initial period?
Yeah, so this data set that just came out from the Bureau is something that they release every year. So unfortunately, there's a big lag on the data. So we'll know if this is something that's a sustainable trend that's going to be an issue for us, long term around next year at this time. We'll see if that happens. But in the meantime, I'm sure, other sort of data indicators will begin to piece together a bigger story as well, depending on whether or not home prices continue to escalate, or if we see slack demand in areas that are driving down housing costs, those will be able to tell some stories about where people are moving to and in what magnitude or in what capacity.
What happened in Ithaca?
Ithaca was relatively stable. So it had a net loss of just 242 residents. A lot of that loss was due to, and this is consistent with many upstate cities, what we call natural population loss. Natural population loss being when deaths exceed births or death rates exceed birth rates. And in this case, while it is natural, it's also accelerated by the pandemic because there were a lot of premature deaths that have happened in New York State and across the country because of COVID-19.
And I understand that statewide deaths outpaced births in this time period.
That's right. Yeah. And that's something that's especially characteristic of upstate, but New York State as a whole. A lot of upstate locations have aging population structures. And so seeing death rates exceed birth rates is nothing that's too shocking. Statewide, when you aggregate it together, births did actually outpace deaths a little bit, but it's out-migration that's at the statewide level was the big driving force of population loss. But again, so many upstate cities did experience that natural population loss from birth rates being less than death rates.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to add?
Yeah, so one thing that's interesting, again, while we can't exactly track people and we can't say for sure that folks are leaving New York City and going to certain destinations in New York State, what is kind of telling is that the counties that gained, again, the Capital District in particular, experienced some net population growth, largely led by Saratoga County experienced net population gain of nearly 1,900 residents. So these areas that are, again, maybe a lower cost of living relative to expensive living downstate, offering different sorts of geographical amenities. They seem to have gained some population that wasn't just from birth succeeding death, so it was from people actually moving in.
That's Russell Weaver, Director of Research at the Cornell ILR Buffalo CoLab and an economic geographer. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.